Tape Radio, the learning and listening channel with a difference. Thanks for listening.
We got a show. Get ready. We got a show. We got a show for you.
Are you ready?
Yeah. We got a show for you.
Tape Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the first Cert 4 radio show of 2021. I'm your host, Ewan, for today. And today, we've got an absolute meal of a show for you. It's about food. There's going to be stories about Woolies. There's going to be stories about Uber. There's going to be a story about tea. We've got it all here on TAFE Radio, so stay tuned. Coming up now, I love to start a meal with a bit of red wine by UB40. Oh, what a song. I love a bit of red wine. That's actually a cover of a Neil Diamond song, but UB40 didn't actually know it was a cover of a Neil Diamond song. Anyway, now we've got Ali telling us why I couldn't buy any fruit or veg the other day when I was at Woolies.
Yeah, so in some Sydney news, the shelves of Neutral Bay Woolworths are empty. There is no fruit or vegetables to be seen. Why, you may ask? No, we're not in a second wave of pandemic panic buying. It's not a toilet paper crisis, so no need to worry about that. However, don't relax just yet. We're definitely not off scot-free. The fruit and veg removal was purposely orchestrated by Woolworths to shine the light on the hard work of bees, to bring awareness to the incredibly important role bees play in our food cycle. 65% actually of all agriculture is pollinated with the help of our little friends. And talking money-wise, that's a whopping $14 billion worth of food every year. If bees became extinct and we no longer had them on our planet, you could kiss goodbye many of our grocery favourites, such as strawberries, pumpkins, peanut butter, coffee, cereal, all of which can be produced with the help of our bees. Woolworths has an ulterior motive. The chief marketing officer, Andrew Hicks, said the conspicuously empty display was designed to start a conversation. A conversation to make us think about the impact bees have on the world's food supply, right to our supermarket shelves. Even if we hadn't experienced numerous natural disasters in the past couple of years, we would still need to think about this vital issue. The result of droughts and bushfires has left so many beekeepers in strife, lacking spaces and resources to help sustain their dwindling beehives. So think about it. Next time you're in the store picking your delicious peaches and grapes off the shelf to pair with your morning muesli, make sure you take a moment. Think about all of the steps in the life cycle that bees are critical to. Bees look little, but the impact is ginormous. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ali. Oh, that is a shame about the coffee. I don't know if I could survive without that. But did Woolworths do this all for a good write-up to make a bit more money? I don't know. Here's ABBA.
We know that personal issues, which could affect the way you study. Sometimes these pressures can be great, and it feels like you're going to explode. Well, before that ever happens, there's always help at your local campus. TAFE Counselling Services are there for you during class times 5 days a week. These services are free to all students and staff.
This is Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen on TAFE Radio. Oh, a classic there, Hungry Eyes. And before that, Money, Money, Money by ABBA. Now, when I was a child, I really enjoyed going to McDonald's. I don't actually think I went there for the food. I think I went there for the toys. And more recently, Woolies for the Ushies. Here to tell us more about it, it's Chris Jin.
Thanks, Ewan. Have you ever asked yourself, or have you ever purchased a Happy Meal from McDonald's simply because you wanted the toy? If so, why? It's probably more common than you think, and there's currently a massive reseller market for exclusive toys. Everything from unopened Happy Meal Pokemon cards going for tens of thousands of dollars online to Rick and Morty Szechuan sauces causing fights in franchises across the USA. Closer to home, Woolworths' hugely successful Ushi campaign, which saw small plastic Disney characters given out with groceries, made stay-at-home mums overnight investors. Ushis started selling for upwards of $100,000, and Woolworths were loving the free publicity. But why do people who aren't your regular run-of-the-mill stamp collectors flocking to grab these toys, and why do they go for such ridiculous amounts online? It all has to do with a false economy created by outlets such as McDonald's. It's driven by two things: limited availability and only available from one source. If you were craving a fast food burger and you saw that one chain was giving away something for a limited time, you're more than likely to go buy your meal from there, despite it not being your preferred eatery. Consumers are causing massive profit spikes for companies that, quite frankly, don't really need the extra help. Not to mention the increased plastic from discarded toys that end up in landfill. So next time you see a promotion giving away something for free, have a think about the motives behind the company, and also if you really want that little plastic toy, Ewan.
Thanks, Chris. I actually spent $2,000 on a blue Yoda last time. Did you get any Ushis last time, Chris?
I didn't, but I got asked 100 times if I was collecting them, and I think that's an extraordinary price to pay, Ewan.
Well, you know,
each to their own.
I wanted the Mandalorian, okay? now, we've got one of my favourite things to do with food. It's probably eat it. Second would be bite it. Is that a bit of a stretch? It sure is. Here's Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. Oh, look at that. Queen and ABBA within the same show. On the first show of the year, I am too nice to you guys. Now, unfortunately, last week, the Australian music industry lost a legend. And here to tell us more.
Hey, it's Adam here, and this is our very first Rock and Roll Heaven session for 2021. Sadly, as Ewan said, we're remembering one of our most memorable icons in Aussie music today, Michael Gudinski, who just passed away last Tuesday at the age of 68. For many of you who don't know, Michael Gudinski is well known as the founder of Mushroom Records, which he founded in 1972 at the age of 20. Along with Mushroom's birth, he was later followed by the formation of Mushroom Music Publishing in 1973, which would become the most successful music publishers in Australasia. Throughout Mushroom's lifespan, he has become one of Australia's largest independent entertainment groups, signing numerous artists, including Jimmy Barnes, Paul Kelly, Kylie Minogue, and The Church, just to name a few, as well as having a diverse number of divisions and subsidiaries like Ivan League, Liberation Music, Future Entertainment, and more. Recently, a private funeral has been held for him on Wednesday, which will be followed by a state funeral in the next fortnight, where fans will be able to celebrate his life and career. Now, in all seriousness, Michael Gudinski will forever be missed. He was a legend who influenced the music industry with his record labels, and his legacy will live on for generations to come. That concludes our first segment of Rock and Roll Heaven for 2021, and now here's Jimmy Barnes, Working Class Man, on TAFE Radio.
God, I love a bit of Barnsy on a Friday morning. That song actually spent 14 weeks on the charts here in Australia, and he performed it at the Sydney 2000 Olympics. Do you remember that? I don't know, I wasn't alive. Now, if you're like me, on a Saturday night, you might go out, have one or two beers, next thing you know, it's 1 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. You go, I'm a bit hungry, I don't want to make anything for myself. I'm going to order a burger on a delivery service. But what's the real price of that? Here to tell us more, it's Ellie.
Hey folks, do you realise Uber Eats has only been in our lives since 2016? Blowing other competitors such as Deliveroo and Menulog out of the water. In November 2017, Uber Eats harnessed the celebrityism of Sophie Monk, Naomi Watts and Boy George with the Tonight I'll Be Eating campaign. That's a giant tick for marketing genius right there. Food delivery apps get up to 35% commission on their sales, while the margin for restaurants and cafes is as low as 3%. So who's really eating out tonight? The COVID-induced downturn in the economy provided Uber with a huge boost in rider applications, consequently impacting other riders' income. One rider we spoke to, a student, went from earning $200 a day down to $50 a day, which is barely enough to survive. More recently, five food delivery drivers have died while on the job, delivering food to our hungry bellies. At the same time, Uber Eats is making headlines accused of breaching workplace laws. In November last year, the New South Wales government launched an inquiry into the deaths of the delivery riders. Results are waiting to be seen. Globally, Uber Eats controls 29% of the food market and has an annual turnover of $4.8 billion in 2020. There's a clear pattern of exploitation occurring here within an unregulated industry. So ask yourself the question, are riders being protected? Are local businesses profiting? Are more people being employed due to this booming economy? Other than convenience, what do they provide to you as a consumer? Next time you're ordering yourself an app, a snack on an app, stop and ask yourself, what are you really paying for?
Thanks, Ellie. That's, kind of concerning. Maybe I should stop going out drinking on a Saturday night. Probably won't, but who knows. Now, coming up, this mate, Michael, I think his name is, he claims he would do absolutely anything for love. So I think we should hear him out. That's a classic. My God. I told you. He said he'd do anything for love. Now, I don't actually know what's in meatloaf, and I also don't know what's in a Chico roll. So last week, I decided I'm going to try a Chico roll with my classmate here, Pat.
Hey, Ewan. How you going?
I'm good. How was your overall experience of eating a Chico roll for the first time in about how long did you say? 6 years?
Yeah, I think at least. It has been a while, and I got to say, I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was just such an incredible experience. So tasty, and I just felt so sick to my stomach about an hour afterwards.
Yeah, it's so wrong, but at the same time...
It's so right.
Oh, it's so right. It's perfect. It's kind of... I ate it and I enjoyed it for the 5 seconds I was eating it, and then about an hour later it kicked in and I felt horrible.
Yeah, and you're right when you say that I really have no idea what is in a Chico roll. I had to look it up, right? Check out how appetizing this sounds. A Chico roll's filling is primarily cabbage and barley.
So yum. It's healthy.
Great choice for vegetarians. We got carrot, green beans, all sounding good. Beef, got to have a bit of meat in there.
Yeah.
Then beef tallow.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
No, is that like beef talon? Is that like the foot, the toe?
The hoof of the cow, it could be. It sounds like something you put into a candle,
Have you figured out what it is since?
I think it's just literally like concentrated fat from the cow.
Oh,
but
yum.
How romantic would it be? I mean, forget a candlelight dinner. Ooh. Imagine taking your special someone to a Chico roll lit dinner. Just absolute.
My
it would smell
God.
Delicious.
That's, ooh.
Yeah.
Get a whiff of that one.
Yeah, and no, so, absolutely.
Speaking of junk food, you were telling me earlier this week Mars has done something.
Yes, so not the planet. I know you'd be thinking about the planet, but no, Mars Australia... Is
there's
going
a, there's
renewable.
A planet here? There's a planet, there's Mars Australia?
No, you fool. We're talking about Mars the company, Mars Australia. They make M&M's, Mars bars, etc. And they have transitioned to 100% renewable power.
Whoa.
As part of the company's $1.2 billion commitment to climate change.
So that means that technically while my Mars bar might not be good for me, it is good for the planet.
Oh, it is absolutely good for the planet. And, you know, you're looking pretty good, Ewan. I wouldn't put yourself down.
Thanks,
you eat
man.
All the Mars bars you want.
Oof.
But, yeah, no, this effort is made as part of the company's membership of RE100, which is an organisation of massive corporations dedicated to reaching 100% renewable energy. Another notable participant is Carlton and United Breweries have
Ooh.
Recently announced that VB Beer has fully offset its manufacturing costs using renewable energy and solar power.
That's fantastic. That's actually... So that is my favourite beer. I would die for a VB.
I have to... There's a lot of snooty people who do not appreciate just a nice VB.
No, I walk into a pub in the Inner West and they're like, we've got craft beer, something else, some weird watermelon beer. Ooh. And I go, you know what? Do you have VB? And they scowl, and then, like, that's $3 a schooner. And so I...
Are you sure you wouldn't prefer Young Henry's, sir? You know, what? Nah, just a VB. Just a VB. But, yeah, no, it's good. It's a classic, you know. But I've got some figures here.
Oh, right? Hit me with them.
Mars is paired with the Kiamal Solar Farm. That's where they're getting all their renewable energy from. And they're generating around 50 megawatts of power, enough to produce 185 million bags of peanut M&Ms, 30 million bags of Pedigree dog food, 1.4 billion bottles of Masterfoods tomato sauce, or 2.5 billion packets of extra gum.
That sounds like a weekly shop for me at Woolies.
Hey, the man's eating billions of packets of gum.
I am.
Nice.
Now, we're still in this meal, and you know what my favourite course of a meal is, Pat?
What?
It's dessert.
Ooh.
So I think we should have a slice of American Pie by Don McLean.
Absolutely delicious.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
Such a good song. You're listening to the Cert 4 Classes, first show of the year on TAFE Radio. I'm Ewan, and that was Wannabe by the Spice Girls. And oh, how I want to be playing that again, but alas, we've got Marco here to talk to us about food allergies.
Hey, Ewan. Are you one of the thousands of Australians that live with your EpiPen at the ready? Well, the food authorities are coming to the rescue. Food Standards Australia New Zealand, which is known as the FSANZ, has told food companies that they need to make their food allergen advice more consistent and clear. The FSANZ said these changes will include allergen information to be in a specific format and location and the use of plain and simple language. FSANZ CEO Mark Booth has said the changes will help consumers to read and interpret allergen information more quickly and easily. These new standards will come into effect on the 25th of March 2021, but manufacturers will have a 3-year transition period. This comes as good news to people with food allergies and intolerances, as now it will be much easier to make more informed and safer food choices.
Thanks, Marco. Have you got any food allergies yourself?
It's not an allergy, but an intolerance to mustard that I've recently discovered last year.
Mustard?
Yes.
Any
yes,
particular
yes.
ingredient in mustard, or is it just mustard?
It's just the mustard and the mustard seeds.
Oh.
Yeah, it's actually in a lot of things, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah, like sriracha mayo has mustard seeds in it.
Whoa. I don't know how you're going to survive without mayo.
I know. I just brought it and to find out it has mustard seeds in it, you know? Devo, man, Devo.
My condolences. All right. Coming up for you now, it's Rihanna.
One, two. Take your shots in here. You want one?
That was Cheers by Rihanna. And that is the only song I'll play today that came out after I was born. How old does that make you feel? Now, we've got a story. We've got Therese talking to Caitlin from the Tea Centre in Queensland. She tells us about their locally grown teas, including the native lemon myrtle. We'll hear about their popularity with customers and how they're grown in locations like the Daintree.
K Can you let me know about the philosophy of your company?
So Tea Centre first opened its doors in 1993, and we were at the time the first tea specialist in Australia. Core to our brand has always been quality tea and having a wide range of teas.
What kind of native teas do you have at the moment in your range?
So the main native tea plant that we carry is lemon myrtle. So it's an organic herbal tea, and we source it from a farm in far north Queensland, specifically in Airlie Beach, and it's really beautiful tea. We encourage customers to drink it on their own or blend it with other teas. It has the most delicious, distinctive citrus flavour, very zesty, it's very uplifting, and yeah, just overall just a beautiful, fragrant tea. It's actually, lemon myrtle has great health benefits as well too. It has the highest amount of citral of any plant in the world, but it's said to strengthen the immune system, antiseptic, it's anti-inflammatory, and has antibacterial properties as well too.
Oh, that's really good. And then what about your customers? What kind of reaction do you get from them?
Well, specifically the lemon myrtle, our customers love that it's locally grown. Most of our stores are actually in Queensland, and they love that it's sourced from a Queensland supplier and from a Queensland farm. And I think the scent, as soon as they will often have it out for tasting, as soon as they smell it, they love it. I think citrus taste appeal to most people broadly as well. And such a versatile herb too. The fact that you can blend it, you can use a little, you can use a lot. It's really appealing to people. The tea plant isn't native to Australia, but you know, the terrain and climate that's unique to Australia really defines the flavour, and we love that we can source from local buyers and yeah, local plantation owners in Australia too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good. And which areas are they from?
Well, we've got the Daintree tea, so from right next to the Daintree rainforest in far north Queensland, and the people behind the Daintree tea, they've been very conscious of really looking after and protecting the local environment. They don't use a lot of land. They're very careful about that because the Daintree rainforest is the most ancient rainforest in the world and obviously it's heritage listed. So though it's not organic, they don't use any pesticides or anything nasty in cultivating this plant. It's also, it's single origin, but it's unblended as well. So it's black tea in its most pure form. Teas are from the same plant, but where it is grown in the world has a huge impact on the flavour.
Okay.
So the Daintree, so the tea, because it's grown in the Daintree, it's a tropical region, it has a very distinctive taste, a reasonably mild to medium bodied tea, almost an earthiness to it, which is, I guess, a technical tasting note that doesn't always sound good, but it is really, really delicious and goes beautifully with a splash of milk, which is a way a lot of people love to drink black tea, but has such a beautiful flavour on its own too. And that's something, with any single origin tea, so a black tea that hasn't been blended with other black teas from around the world, the flavour is very distinctive, which is why we love the Daintree black tea.
Oh, wow. Yes, that sounds really good. Thank you so much for answering my questions and thank you for...
Streaming at you 24 hours a day. This is Sydney TAFE Radio.
This is Hall & Oates, Man Eater. Oh, that is a fantastic song to end our show today. That's all from us here at TAFE Radio. Tune in next week. We've got a show about firsts. I don't know what that means, but hopefully we hear Feels Like the First Time by Foreigner. I'm Ewan. Thanks for listening.